The Phrasman again taints my vaults with his stink. But there's something different about him this time. I know what haunts his dreams. What he sees every time he closes his eyes. What he hears alone in the silence. What no mortal was meant to know. How does it feel to be unable to look away from the greatest terror anyone could experience? What does that truly do to a man, I wonder?
Hey everybody, it's time to Roll for Intent. I'm your GM, Trevor, and I had a wild weekend.
Yeah, I was about to say, you just peaked your mic.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
Yeah, I know, you're coming hot.
Coming high. I was like, coming high.
I am. That's it. I'm... So, me and my wife's anniversary, the intro lady, voice of Belcore at the beginning of the episode, you just heard her talk.
Oh, did you guys get that hooker you were talking about?
That's it, you got me. No,
no,
our anniversary.
Worse.
Our anniversary, yeah, right? So our anniversary is January 3rd. And we couldn't get a babysitter that week for whatever freaking reason, right? I think it was like, it's my birthday month. I'm busy every day. I don't know, whatever. It's my neighbor's
boy,
kid.
Was that hooker surprised when she showed up. So here's what we want you to do. You have to watch these kids. We're going out.
So we set up something for this past weekend. And it's like combination Valentine's Day, 15th anniversary. We've been really busy working on the house, trying to get it sold. Hopefully be on the market in like 2 weeks. And Sarah decided, after I gave her a list of a bunch of crazy stuff going on in town, kind of as a joke, she's like, let's go to a wrestling match. And we're not talking like, you know, WWE or anything. This is some local group called Wrestle Rave. Did a Wrestle Rave X7.
Okay.
Suburban Texas amateur wrestling.
This is
downtown Houston.
Yeah, oh my God. Downtown Houston.
Oh yeah. My God. Were there guns involved? Was there blood?
Okay. So, lots of blood. I have pictures.
So much blood. I wasn't kidding.
Let me throw these in cast chat. I'll probably get these into the Discord.
So much blood, listener. Holy fuck.
But yeah, so like the first couple, we got there a little bit late because dinner just went over and there was some traffic on the way there. But when we got there, it was, I don't even remember who was fighting. It was like some giant, the guy that was the heel had like a face tattoo and he was like some Nordic dude wrestling. And I don't remember what his name was, wrestling some guy whose wrestler name was Just Kenny. His name was just Kenny. And he ended up beating him, even though there was like, you know, there's a full head height difference between the two, you know, because weight classes don't matter in wrestling. That finishes up. Then we get, you know, the next one is the girl fight, the obligatory girl fight, which is, you know, always fun. Let me see. I'm going to post a couple of these pictures into. I'm going to post a lot of pictures in the cast chat. You know, that was, you know, again, a girl that's like, just like, I'm a punk rock girl. And then somebody that has like traditional Mexican luchador stuff on that's doing it. It's fantastic. And then it's a round robin, a battle royale, seven wrestlers. They got, the standard, archetype, the big, like, kind of Ric Flair type dude. Then they had some dude that called himself Tiger Pants that just looked like a suburban dad that was wearing tiger stripe pants and a bandana. And I loved it. All this happens, you know, that one ends with somebody dressed in a Winnie the Pooh costume coming out and pinning somebody. And that was how that one ended. There was some lore associated with it because everybody was losing their shit because I guess there's regulars that come out. But after that, they started something that they called the death match. I guess they called it death match. I can't even remember what they called it. And the first thing they do is pull out a bunch of tarps. So two tarps go on. And Sarah's like, oh, my God, why are they putting out tarps? I'm like, oh, it's got to be like squibs or blood packs or something. And there should be pictures in cast chat right now of the kind of ridiculousness that was going on during this.
Oh my God. That guy has like an actual torture implement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a bat affixed with many pairs of scissors.
Yeah. He called it the scissor bat.
It looks like a Team Fortress 2 melee weapon.
It does. That's exactly what it looks like.
The scout would absolutely.
So the other guy that was with him had like a Japanese draw saw, and he was cutting the dude across his forehead and in his mouth, and they were pitting him up against the ropes and just slicing his forehead open. And the people chanting are like, "We want blood! We want blood! And come over on this side of the ring and cut him." It was nuts. Then they're like bashing each other with fluorescent.
Bleed on my daughter!
Fluorescent light bulbs, just so much mercury dust in the air. If you look in one of those pictures, you can see the master of ceremonies. He's wearing like a blue suit. He looked like a cross between Joe Dirt and Marilyn Manson.
That guy looks like Blue Man from TF2, like when he was young. Mm-hmm. Blue Tark Man.
Why?
And there's strangely just like steam thematic coming off of these people because it's about 45 degrees in this place because there's no heat.
Right. Yeah, of course.
We had front row seats. Somebody dove off, and like the security was like, "All right, everybody, you better move." They dove off into the seats that we were just sitting in. Oh my God. Absolute pandemonium. And Sarah actually enjoyed herself with the exception of like the deathmatch stuff. She's like, that was just messed up. Yeah, I don't know if you see one of those pictures, but there's a guy that's up against the corner of the ring, and all that white stuff in his back is glass embedded in him from fluorescent light bulb tubes.
I thought that was like a skin condition.
No, that's blood and glass. The very last picture is a bunch of fluorescent light bulbs attached to the ropes that they were throwing people through.
Good Lord, these people know how to party.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The eighth picture down is one of the dudes cutting the guy across the mouth with the draw saw. It was insane. Absolutely insane.
Did you know it was going to be like this going into it?
Not even remotely.
This is how Texans show their love to each other.
There was like after one of the matches, they went over to the person that's selling drinks, which is, you know, just a tarp covered table in the corner that it's like shots for $6 and stuff.
Held up with two table saws.
We need you to give us some vodka to help sterilize the ref's hands because he got blood on him. And like while this is all happening, there's just motherfuckers eating nachos in the corner and hot dogs and shit, just watching this. There's children like as young as 2 running around in this place.
Bro, that's not okay.
A health inspector is hogtied in a corner somewhere.
Yeah, like just like in Ratatouille.
Yeah, he's just thrown in the walk-in.
The number one heel of the whole night, which is the guy that was like in the corner, has the blood all over him. His defining characteristic that made everybody hate him was that he was from Dallas. It was fantastic. I loved it. It was so ridiculous.
I guess
successful anniversary / Valentine's date.
It was. We went to a tiki bar that was really disappointing because the atmosphere just wasn't right. The drinks were great, but the atmosphere just kind of sucked.
Not enough blood.
No, there was too much nu metal in a tiki bar. It was weird.
That is weird. I think one of my favorite things about like you and I both getting older, but you especially, is like your love of tiki bars. That's a very recent in the last couple of year thing, and I love that.
All right. But all of us have gone to the Inferno Room. All of us on this call have been to the Inferno Room.
It's fire.
It was good. Awesome. It was really good.
Yeah. Dagger of the Mind's Eye was a pretty sick cocktail.
That's the one thing that I'm going to keep looking forward to. Like, I want to go back. I'm not going to make it to Gen Con this year because of the move and stuff. But like,
the standard that's going to be my regular. All tiki bars are held to
first night. They have the largest selection of like indigenous New Guinean, Papua New Guinean statues or whatever outside of Papua New Guinea. Like, it could qualify as a museum collection of like indigenous, like 18th century statues or something.
What,
like
the
that.
Inferno
it's
Room?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Really?
The
place is pretty rad.
There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot.
You know, they've been there. It's they've like, been there, but they just didn't realize what it was.
I mean, I got pretty drunk there. It was a good time.
Yeah, you did. You got pretty hammered. I've been there 4 times now, I think, over 2 trips. Because me and Sarah went back the first time.
I love it.
It's great, man. Duck pin bowling's right down at the end of the street. It's awesome. But yeah, that's all I got. We don't have the patron saint of shitty antics with us anymore. Pour one out for Raven. He's out partying with Cedric the Entertainer some shit tonight.
No, we just had to enjoy you regaling us with tales of blood sport.
Yeah, literal blood sport.
Yeah, Raymond would not have done that.
I love how people are talking about like Patton Oswalt had that stand-up bit where he's talking about like the Road Warrior-esque future that he's totally waiting for, like the Mad Mask. But that's already happening. Like yeah, it's apparently. Right there. There's not apparently. Even a shortage it's of gasoline Texas. Right yeah. now, and you guys are just like in a metal cage in the desert somewhere underneath like a warehouse roof.
So that was the first step of all this going like crazy. So it's an area of town that we don't go to very often. It's like
the Barrens.
It's like an industrial zone. It's not somewhere that we look like we're in the right place until we get to this place. And it's like everybody that you could possibly imagine. Like they had some like women in there that were extremely like dressed up. It was very strange. A couple of them, like older women that were very dressed up. It was very odd. And then you have everything from like trailer trash people, right? And then you got emo kids and goth kids and, you know, just
everybody
like
loves
some
wrestling.
Dude that as some dude that just like looked like he clocked out 45 minutes before he showed up and pounded a 6-pack before he walked in. Like it's in this nondescript warehouse at the end of this long pockmarked dirt road. Coming off of a paved road in like this area that's surrounded by disused buses and RVs and stuff. It was nuts. I would do it again if I could get away from like, I didn't really like the deathmatch thing very much either. Just, I want to see their Bloodborne pathogen certificate. But
you
like,
know they don't have one. You right? know they exactly. don't have one.
Exactly. I was like, I don't want to get too close to that. I want to stay well away.
No, they're inventing a new type of HIV right there in the arena. Right,
they're making space AIDS.
You could
space
totally
city space
like,
AIDS.
Just call in like I feel like the cops are obligated to break that up, right? Like if they walk into an establishment
and
there's somebody just beating somebody else with a bat made out of scissors and they're like, no, this is normal for Texas.
It's consensual. Like the whole thing is, it's like, I mean, it's all fake, right?
Is this a Facebook event?
All of this is planned. No. So like they do this every 3 months. They have one of these every 3 months, something like that, 2 or 3 months. They're saying when WrestleRave X8 is coming. And actually, it's every month or every 2 months. March 30th is the next one.
How intense is the kayfabe in this wrestling universe?
Pretty intense. Pretty intense. They're trying real hard.
Hell yeah,
they want to be big someday. But you know what? It's, you know, they're having a good time. You know, they're
You gotta start somewhere, man. I mean, that Iron Claw movie just came out. About the Von Erichs, you know?
The guys that are doing the...
Weren't
like,
they
the
also from
stuff.
Texas?
I mean, yeah, they had like this big thing in the back, like history of wrestling, and Tiger Pants comes up. And he's like, everybody needs to go back and look at that booth back there. It's history of wrestling because the history of Texas wrestling is the history of wrestling. And, like, it was very much like, Texas Raw!
I mean, there's a lot of like really it's big wild. Wrestling families that came out of Texas.
It's wild.
Like that movie that just came out is about I thought the Von Erichs family was from Texas, but I could be wrong.
I don't know anything about this. I don't know anything about movies that are coming out except for Dune. That's it.
Like the Iron Claw?
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah, Trevor, I'm starting to wonder why you would ever want to move out of that wonderful, wonderful state.
Yeah, right. Denton County, Texas.
Yeah, no, the Von Erichs were from Texas.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them.
That's we got wild. Our bad apples in Texas, but you take it with the grains.
The Von Erichs is an American professional wrestling family. That's the first sentence of their Wikipedia article.
Nice.
That's such a fucking sentence.
Nice.
Oh, man. I love that's the most American thing I have read in a month. Oh, fuck. Okay.
All right, y'all. Let's get back into this, shall we? Hey there, podcast listeners. It's your GM, Trevor, here. It's been a bit since I did one of these, but I figured with 2023 coming to a close, it's probably time. Whether you've been here since day one, you binged our whole collection in a week, or if this is your first time you've downloaded an episode, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Now, it's been a while since I've asked y'all for anything, but it being Christmas and all, we do have one thing you could do for us that would mean the world. Take 2 minutes and jump into your podcast app of choice and leave us a review. Stars are fine. Words are amazing. That is the number one way for us to reach more people. If only 5% of you dropped a review on iTunes, Podchaser, Spotify, or wherever, we would reach so many more people. If you haven't done so yet, drop on by the Discord, wolferintent.com/Discord. Now, let's get back to the show. Last week, the party had just successfully killed off the last of the devils in the red blood-looking room when they were beset upon by an Urnikurs coming up behind them, literally ripping off Billiam's leg.
Oh my god! Urnikurs!
But it was dispatched fairly quickly by a series of crits and some assistance by our good friend Marcus Klim coming in for the assist. But he seems a bit changed now. Can't really put my finger on it. Something in the air is slightly different, and the party has begun to pick up on it. Everyone heads back to town with Billiam, deposits him with his wife, who is conveniently eating a peanut butter and honey sandwich. So she cannot speak to anybody the entire time, and for some reason she keeps stuffing her face with peanut butter and honey sandwich. But she seems seriously concerned with Billiam's well-being.
I'm honestly just gold. Like, I'm just picturing her. Yeah, I'm just picturing at this point, since she's like has never spoken to us directly in any meaningful way, like a Charlie Brown parent or like Timmy Turner's parents in the first season of Fairly Odd Parents, where you only see like their knees up or knees down. Up. I mean,
or your knees down.
It's just like legs, yeah. A nondescript body.
That's exactly, I think, what it is.
Or Miss Bellum from Powerpuff Girls.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
Sarah what I'm thinking. Bellum. Tacitus gives Billiam's family 200 gold. Malleus is apoplectic with rage over this.
Shuts until him up he realizes for life.
There's 800 more.
Right, just exactly. I'm just saying, Malleus would be like, "What? The mayor will take care of him. What are we doing here?"
I mean, that's probably in town. That's I think rent is something like, what is it? It's like 10 silver pieces is the monthly like cost for an average size. It's in the world guide. I can't remember what it, or the travel
they're,
guide.
They're going to be okay for a while.
They're fine.
So the Williams family deserves every penny.
They absolutely do. They've gone through a lot.
Little Zazu and whatever the other one's name is.
Oh my God. Zazu and Funko or something.
Zazu and Gary, who fucking knows?
Meow. So, back at it
again.
Did someone
just meow?
Did you tell your vibe aids today?
He said Gary, the snail.
Yeah, I know. And I got Gary. It.
Meow.
His brain he couldn't help him, so I understand.
I couldn't. It was there. It had to come out. Every time I see somebody named Gary, I meow at them, and they're like, what's wrong with him? And I'm like, I don't know. Now we're back in town. What's party going to do? I mean, they're probably good to go back. They haven't used a lot of their resources, I don't believe, for the day. They could just go back to the Gauntlet. It's still probably early afternoon by the time they make their way back.
Yeah, we could just go back, you know.
But you could.
After witnessing everything we just saw. Well, to be fair, we can't use the locate inside of the Mr. Griffey doll again because it's still the same bag, right?
Correct. I mean, you could attempt to use it as a wand, but it would like potentially break itself.
Yeah, 50-50 shot of breaking.
What if we break it and then that's and then I'll edit this out. What if we break it and then that's how we bring Christian's character in? Just try to use it. So, yeah. It fucks up and breaks and gives a reason for the gem to be inhabited by something else. Anyway, I'm spitballing. I'm okay with whatever, but that being said, like I did use quite a few of my spell slots in fighting that creature.
I'm pretty low on health as well.
We might as well rest. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also like Malleus would probably like ask Tacitus, you know, after we patch ourselves up a little bit. You know, like, has he always been mute? Like in gesture towards, but why is my brain on fire?
Marcus.
Why
did I just towards Marcus.
Yes.
Sorry.
Well, sorry. As far as I can recall, he was rather eloquent when last we met. Wasn't a talker, but he did speak. Something is odd about him.
Trevor, did I like roll to see what was going on with or see if I was able to figure out what was going on with Marcus last session? I cannot remember.
I don't believe you did, no.
I don't think you did. I don't recall. No.
Okay. Could I roll esoteric for that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
He is a creature.
Oh, by the way, do I still have the stupefied condition?
It's true.
Stupefied. I think that goes away until we sleep.
It goes away when you sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. I still have it then.
Yeah, everyone except Billiam and Mordrin have it.
That is a 2 for a 15.
No clue.
Oh, that's coming up empty. Not quite sure.
I don't remember. I can't remember what he... There's something about chalkboard and chalk. I think his dad talks with a chalkboard. Something. I don't remember. But maybe his dad died and passed the mantle on. It's like a family tradition. I don't know how humans work. Stop looking at me like...
I believe he also had a daughter. What happened to her?
I was going to ask Trevor which tavern or inn would
Rowdy Marcus Rockfish. Be seeing it?
Rowdy Rock, okay.
Yeah.
So same one. Okay.
He was always leaving his daughter places. She probably got ran over by a wagon or something.
So you'll see Marcus, who's probably like I'd say 15 feet away from the group. And then when he kind of realizes you guys are most likely talking about him, which he kind of looks as if he expects that, he'll write in the air, Rowdy Rock, heading to Rowdy Rockfish, Atia waiting. And then he'll just start walking with or without you.
See, I told you, he leaves her places. Bars mostly, so nothing could go wrong with that.
Better than bringing her here. Malleus is still probably like wiggling a little bit because he's barely being held together. I'm hurt. I'm still really hurt, even after healing at the end of the last episode.
Ooh. Big oof.
If we're going to spend the evening here,
when I spawned a child about taking it to the Gauntlet, you were all like, bring him with us, and he got eaten by a thing. I remember. It was sad.
If we're going to spend the evening here, I would like to ask more questions of Marcus. So I'm going to follow Marcus to the Rowdy Rockfish.
Okay.
After Blues leave Billiam, get inside.
So is everyone tailing into the Rowdy, or is anyone not going to the Rowdy?
I stay there. That's where Malleus sleeps.
All of them except for Tacitus.
Okay. Yep. As we enter into the Rowdy Rockfish, you'll see the familiar Atia, and she'll say, Dad! And she'll run up to Marcus. And you'll see she's dressed in a similar garb as Marcus, but obviously like for the size... Most likely like a halfling size, but because it just conveniently fits, or probably like a gnome size because it conveniently fits her. And you'll see Marcus put his hand on Atia's shoulder, and like she goes like, as he's moving his hand to her shoulder, she like grabs his hand and puts it on her shoulder, like as if expectingly. And she'll speak, and you'll hear Atia speak, but you'll see her eyes roll back white. And she'll say, hello. I have to speak through you this way. I hope that's not a bother.
Holy shit. That's fucked up. I loved it. Sorry.
As you can, you kind of see, like, I'll say you see, like, you see a small symbol, like, almost similar. You see you actually see a summoner's symbol. You'll see, like, a small hovering sigil of Phrasma, the spiral of life, basically slowly sift out of his forehead and out of Atia's forehead as they speak in unison. Basically, you can clearly tell that she's his voice. He goes, let's just say it's rather complicated, but Atia is not just Atia. Atia is vesseling my voice as well as the soul of her mother. There's a lot to uncover there. I know. We can discuss it over drinks. My treat.
Malleus will creak and turn, look towards Tacitus.
Is speechless.
He's kind of doing it sideways, right? Like he's gonna like lean down while still looking at both Marcus and Auntie, and not taking his eyes away from them, and say,
"I've been dead for a very long time. Is this how human children work now?"
No. This is
beyond me, bro.
This is heavy.
And
as long as we're sharing secrets.
Right. And he'll try to get a table that's away from around how many patrons are in the Rowdy Rockfish at this time.
I don't know. Now that Tacitus is here, probably none. That's what happened last time.
Right. So I will say that Atia.
Because it's early afternoon, right?
Atia finds cursed. Him very off putting.
Finds who? Tacitus?
Tacitus. Tacitus has been inflicted with the outcast curse.
Oh, right. Outcast. Right.
You don't because you've met him before. I don't think that Atia really interacted with him.
She never did.
No. Yeah.
I guess we will all sit down then at a table as the bar clears out from Micah's extremely off-putting presence.
Yeah, easy space.
Brald is like, what's going on? Why is everyone leaving?
No worry, we will fix that soon.
Okay, fine. While after she says that, Malleus will reach into Tacitus's bag that he keeps all the money in his party treasure and grab. I'm going to give her 10 gold, right?
How dare you, Jake? How dare you give away our gold to some stranger?
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Oh, man. Listen, I have way more of an emotional attraction to Brelda. I'll keep that up with every character I play in whatever fashion I can.
After
everybody gets like cleared out for like the second or third night in a row, Malleus will be like,
"He is cursed. Until we fix this, I hope this covers the cost of any lost patronage."
And he'll drop the gold coins on the bar in front of her. Ching ching.
All right, and you'll see Marcus, or you'll see Atia like try and sit up, and she's barely above the table, but she tries to like, and he kind of like tries to put some like bags under her to boost her up at the table. So a lot happened in my return to Absalom, not on the way here. I can't disclose all of it, but let's just say Atia had a near-death experience on the boat, attempting to reconvene with what she thought was her mother, but a mere vision of her mother, whom she's never met because she died giving her childbirth. But she's seen pictures and art, or she's seen art of her, of course. So she knows what she looked like in a prior life. Right. And is Brelda in eyeshot?
Nah, they're back cleaning up stuff.
Okay. So you'll see, he goes, she can speak for herself. And you see Marcus like channel, like concentrate in what seems like channel for 4 to 6 seconds as all of a sudden you see a ghostly woman like step out of Atia and kind of like hover over as if she's like embracing her. And we have, you want me to put the picture in the cast chat?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll put the picture in the cast chat. One moment.
Underneath all the wrestling photos.
Yeah. Underneath all these amazing photos. Oh, shoot. Is that on my... That's on my...
I can just do this. Here we go.
Okay. Yeah, you can do the character artwork and show everybody.
Yeah, here you go.
Yay! So there's Atia and her mother.
Oh,
in Foundry. So I'm brought to you by Adobe Firefly. So with you see her like she's actually a phantom, like she's actually a spectral phantom. As out of character, Marcus has taken the summoner dedication at level 6, and for very complicated, well, I'll get into it. So he goes, She goes, "Hello, everyone. My name is Romola Klim. It's a pleasure to meet you all. You, Tacitus and Asmodeus. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. No, what was it? She goes, it's Asmodrin. Asmodrin, honey." And so, which is kind of weird to hear, obviously, from the kid's voice. But my apologies. Asmodrin. And that was Billiam before, correct? Yes, honey, it was Billiam. Pleasure to meet you all. I know this is very extraneous and very strange circumstances. Let's just say that Marcus has sacrificed his voice to bring this family back together. And you'll see Marcus, like, nod his head. And he'll, like, in the air, he'll just write, can't divulge any more than that. And the chalk covers in the air for probably silent, like 5 seconds.
Refuses to explain, leaves.
Walks away silent. Yeah.
No, this is a healthy choice. I don't see anything going wrong with this. Oh, man.
Marcus sitting in a chair with Atia sitting next to him on a couple of cushions with her hand on his shoulder. It's like an inverse ventriloquist dummy.
Mm-hmm.
This is very unsettling.
It should be unsettling because it is. It's a very. I wouldn't say twisted. It is. If you knew the whole story, it's very touching. But he had to sacrifice a lot. One, obviously, not being able to talk, like his father. Like he told you, his father never spoke to him. And there will be vignettes in the future explaining why. It's pretty cool.
Oh, fuck.
Ooh, vignettes. I'm just editing them. I have all the voice done. I just need to edit them together and add some sounds and stuff. So it'll be pretty cool.
I'm excited.
It's nice to have somebody do their own vignettes in its entirety. Oh. Oh.
I'm gonna swoon. Man, I just hear a lot of bitching right now. It's really weird.
Did you play the first one for them?
I did.
Yeah.
Did an episode.
Okay.
Everybody, right. Everybody thought you were dead.
Oh, that's true. They should think that. So, yeah.
Well, Malleus will just kind of like nod, like listening to the story up until the point where somebody's like, that used to be Billiam, right? And you're like, yeah, it used to be Billiam. And he's just like, kind of like stops for a minute. I won't say anything for now. I just want to hear how this keeps going.
And you'll see Marcus look over to Tacitus and Asmodrin, and you'll see Atia, or I should say, you'll see Atia look over to her dad, Marcus, and like, can I ask, Dad? Yes, you can ask.
Is that really a skeleton?
And he's like, oh. You know, because it seems like he can communicate with her. Quietly, and he gave warning to her that he's undead because something you probably didn't notice and he tried to hide away from you was the glowing dagger because you are undead, obviously. And she saw the glowing dagger. She's like, well, it's not him. It's a process of elimination. It was like, oh, it must be him. She's like, you see Marcus or Romulus goes, ask nicer, Atia. Sorry. Are you undead?
As she looks Malleus, will look down at her. He's a big dude.
In a gnoll skin.
In the gnoll skin robe, right? And he'll just like remove the cloak and remove it. Like, you know, he's just, instead of being a 7 foot tall, like gnoll, almost is a 6'10" armored, completely head to toe, covered in full plate. And he'll just remove the helmet and reveal his skull, you know, with just two pits for eyes that are full of void energy. And I imagine it kind of like wibbles and wobbles in and around like where his body or musculature would be, like underneath his armor to kind of give it form. So it's not just clanking on his bones all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have like tusks too?
Yes, he does have a tusk.
Are you a monster skeleton?
Yes.
Yeah, dude, that's good.
He does have a tusk skeleton that does, you know, give hint at like an orc heritage, most likely in his former life. And he will say, yes.
And you see, Romola and Marcus look unshaken by it, just because of obviously his profession and his past. And you'll see Atia like, whoa, she looks super amazed and actually thrilled to see, you know, because her father's probably shown her a few books from time to time and, you know, be like, these are typically not good. And she's like, wow. And she goes, are your eyes actually hollow?
Yes.
Stick your finger in.
Yeah. And she goes to like, you know, ask dad for permission. He's no.
He will, here's what he'll do. He will stand up, get out from like his seat, and he'll look at Marcus with like a trepidatious look of like, may I, and kind of gesture towards if he can get closer to Atia.
And he'll give you a slow nod of approval.
So Malleus will kneel down to her level to be kind of like eye to eye with her on the wooden floor. And he'll like turn and make sure that Brelda and her son aren't at the bar and they're still back there cleaning. Mm-hmm. See that it's empty. And then he'll turn around and he will take off his arm at the bracer, mm-hmm, and just hand it to her.
She's like, whoa. And you know, Marcus is rolling his eyes, you know, just because he's going to let her get it out, you know, because if not, she's going to itch her all day anyway. And so she's like inspecting it. And she's like, it's so cold, you know, assuming void energy might be naturally cold.
Yeah.
Because it's
kind of hard to, I haven't really thought about it like that, but yeah, no, it definitely would be, wouldn't it?
I would assume it'd feel, what are you guys' thoughts on void energy? Would it be naturally like a chill?
I would think of it as the counter to radiant, and I always think of radiant or holy energy, I guess it's called warm. In this setting, is like, yeah, warm. Yeah, like a warm healing feeling, and this would be like a cold foreboding feeling, probably.
I would feel like it would be cold and a pins and needles feeling that when you draw your hand away, it's numb where you were touching it. That's the way that I would probably think of it.
Oh, that's a good way of thinking about it.
Cool.
Pull your hand away, like, and like where your hand was touching it, it's white, like the blood has been sapped away from it.
So she hands it back. She's like, huh. And you see, like, and coming through her voice, she goes, that's why I told you, be careful.
I kind of like to imagine she like drops it because it makes her uncomfortable. Sure. And then Malleus will kind of like iron giant it and let it just like back up into place. And he'll be like, yes, I am undead and I am a skeleton. My name is Malleus. And I'm working to clear Belcora out from the bottom of the gauntlet. If we have any questions about how I wound up here, I will just take care of that from the start, rather. I do not know many details of my former life. What I do know is that a Valstrax tortured me to death in one of the levels of the gauntlet.
Okay.
I awoke when I was finally given the opportunity to take revenge on the creature. When some of this previous party walked into the chambers in which I died, it is hard for me to know exactly how much time I spent dead and when I revived. Somewhere around 300 or so years, if I had to take a guess, but I, again, am unsure. And I am also unsure of the nature of my resurrection, as I am sure that you, as a follower of Farazmar, are most curious as to how that came to be. The details that I can remember are foggy, but it follows as such. I was in a river. Something drugged me out. I fought it, and I won.
And you see Marcus's eyes not go wide, but he seems to almost instantly recognize what you speak of. And he responds through Atia. You were most likely in the River of Souls. Whether you believe in the gods or not, or trust in the gods, as you were most likely in the Boneyard.
Well, I most definitely don't deny their existence. They are there, and they have power. That I do not deny. You may be correct. I do not question your intelligence on the matter. You seem to be a studied individual in the following of Farazma, and
I will be honest with you, that is not something I have a lot of knowledge in. So I trust your expertise on the matter. I also need to reiterate that as a skeleton with my own consciousness and ability to control myself, that while I do abhor the living, I want no destruction for them. So I hope that calms you of any issues you may have with my existence here in town. And for the record, the mayor, his wife, and the children and the staff, trusted individuals in the town more or less, are aware of my existence.
As Morgan leans over to Malleus.
I don't think he's going to like the undead army you're trying to create.
Most likely not.
You'll see Morgan take a deep breath and responds. I was sent here to regroup with the former party and render assistance with whomever has the courage to go back down there. I'm here to exterminate any Nimbaloth remains, as well as anyone attached to maintaining that abomination, the vaults. So as long as we are in agreement that we share a common goal, I can work with you. And I know this may sound condescending, but I assure you, I mean it with all the best intent. I pity you. Your type, I should say. Being undead. And I wish I could disclose why, but that is also something I'm forced to keep secret as well.
Malleus will kind of like nod his head real quick and like let a pregnant pause hang in the air. And he was like,
there are benefits and there are drawbacks. It is not something I would have wished for myself. I'll say that much. But I'm going to make the most out of this extended life and power that I have. I pity me too.
As Mordred?
You probably should pity the rest of us. Wait till you get to know him for a little bit.
Come now, Malleus is a treasure.
He'll turn and look back to Marcus and then like do a like cross the shoulder point without looking at his Mordred and be like, I hate the meat man most of all.
And you'll see, as you've been talking, it looks like Ati has been digging in one of the bags. And she'll say, is the second stomach hungry? And she holds out like a small ration.
Always.
Muckwort bites her hand.
Muckwort, I'm assuming, goes to grab it and then feed you.
Horrifying. Well, go ahead.
Yes, well, I know that was a lot to drop on you. I assure you, and I know this may sound a bit strange, I will be in the future. Atia will be going down there with us, but that is because Romola can possess her and protect her. So,
are you quite sure that's a good idea?
I know it sounds very strange. I know. But it's something I've thought through quite a lot. And after... Romola is quite capable. And you'll see Romola, she goes, I know, we've only met, but I can assure you, I am quite protective of my daughter now that I actually have her in my hold.
Romola, was it?
Romola.
Romola, yeah, it's going to be a hard sell. Every time I've wanted to take a child to the gauntlet, they fight me tooth and nail. It's kind of ridiculous, honestly.
In the future, Marcus responds throughout here. In the future. Not now.
Strangely, I trust his judgment more than yours, Asmordran.
well, that's just rude.
Now you're just being mean.
Well, I hope that cleared the air of whatever questions you might have about me.
It did.
For the record, yes, I am doing my utmost best to create and then arm a small cohort of undead subordinates to do my bidding. One right now is made out of an amalgamation of a midflit and a giant spider. He seems malleable.
I like what you did there with that, Marcus responds. my question for you, if we're going to be working, even though we have different perspectives and ways of conducting business, are you killing the things you're resurrecting, or were they already dead?
Muskrog and the spider were already dead by the time that I found them, and those are the only two things I have combined into one creature. Muskrog is now half spider.
Well, I mean, to split hairs, I mean, the party did kill Muskrog and that creature.
I did not do such a thing. I found Muskrog that way. You cannot say otherwise. That is a lie.
The party tried to save Muskrog.
I tried so hard. You killed him, Trevor.
Yeah, I was like, that wasn't the party's fault. It wasn't the party's fault.
Thank you. Anyway.
And it was anyway. Also one of the people in the town that killed the spider.
Yeah.
So anyway, no. My goal is to take a level of which we have already cleared of the gauntlet and start to make it ready for a ritual. As I have explained to other people who have asked, I do not believe that there is any place that I can find on Galarian in which I will live a peaceful existence. Once my work is done here, there is nowhere I will go where I will not be almost implicitly hunted. And I refuse to go to Geb and become another mindless skeleton in a cast in which I cannot ascend. There are other planets. There are other higher beings. I refuse to call them gods.
It is your right to do so.
What I desire is to leave this place. I believe that there are other worlds. Some place where I could go, whether it be another celestial body somewhere out amongst the stars or a demiplane in which I can just be away.
And will you be taking your army with you?
After I'm gone, I see no need to have them anymore.
Then would you mind if I dispose of them after you leave?
By all means. Do what you must. I wish simply to be someplace where I can continue to study these beings. It seems very difficult for me to believe in any kind of justice that exists between this pantheon that rules this planet.
Fair enough.
So, now that we are all on the same page, how long do you intend to be here?
Until Nimbaloth and paraphernalia, Nimbaloth, anyone tied to Nimbaloth, or anyone in association with anything that could be seen as Nimbalothian has been removed, and the abomination vaults have been sealed.
So, in short order, purge the empty death, seal the vault.
Yes.
I find these terms amenable. And he'll stick out a gauntlet in hand.
And he'll go to shake it.
Good. Does anybody else have anything they would like to add or bring up? Tacitus, you've been awfully sleepy ever since you talked to Rin the other day.
Just lost in thought. It seems like we have another road opening before us, but we're going down it without really knowing why. I don't know. All of this is just unsettling to me.
It is undeniably creepy, and he'll look at Marcus Natia.
I know it's strange. I know it's strange. Would you prefer I use someone else?
I don't know if that would make it better or worse.
Who's sitting next to Marcus right now?
I would imagine I'm sitting across from you, so
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
As Mordred.
Maybe as Mordred, yeah. He could talk through the tummy mouth.
Yep. So
just touch him.
You'll see Marcus touch Asmordran's shoulder. And as long as he goes, and you'll touch your shoulder, and you'll hear Marcus's voice in your mind. As long as you're willing, I can speak through.
You're yeah, this will be fun.
All right. So I will not even, unless you want to hear my alien voice.
Oh, yes.
No, we'll just
yes. This
is all right. We'll say,
do you prefer this?
Oh, hell yeah.
I imagine there's spit flying everywhere because it's never spoken
spit,
before.
Yeah, there's just spit everywhere. It's disgusting.
Can Esmortrin still talk, or is he just like, oh, yes. But no.
He can still talk.
I love
they
this.
They can talk role. Together. It's like a ventriloquist drinking water while the dummy is speaking because he's got a mouth up here and mouth down here.
I've always imagined it like you've just got a tongue in the way and your mouth can never shut. So it's just going to be like...
Liam, I need you to do all recall. Of those lines with your tongue out when you do them.
Oh, my God.
Happier with your mouth wide open.
And you'll hear Achi like, that's a scary voice, Dad. I don't like it.
Sorry, honey.
And you'll like look over. And like he'll take his hand off of Asmodean. I guess it was kind of a Batman husk. Yeah, it was kind of a Batman husk.
Justice for Otari.
Justice for Otari.
Where's Rachel? Like
okay.
It's like the college humor version of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
he's tuckered out. He's just taking a nap.
Oh, God. All right. So that was hell of a line of exposition there. Mm-hmm. There was some weird possession stuff, some body horror, a little bit for everyone, I think.
You know? Honestly, I feel like there's a part of Malleus that's strangely comforted with another undead nearby now. Like a specter is something that he's a little bit more familiar with.
I imagine you go up to Marcus's room at some point and you see him making pottery with like Grimola's arms around him. and his daughter's just like sitting in the corner trying to not make eye contact.
Wow, this corner of the room with all the wood planks was really interesting right now.
Mega Man, Mega Man. That's the energy I just got.
Oh,
right
no,
there.
Not the Mega Man. Oh, no.
Those platforms flowered!
I'll need you, shut up!
I'll need you. So good.
All right, well, after we all kind of reconvene on one point, I think Malleus will, still wounded, bid everybody adieu and go up to his room and start performing medicine checks on himself and then going to sleep for 4 hours. Then I'm going to stare out the window.
I'm going to make sure Tacitus gets home. You know how he gets when the sun goes down, so I'll Trevor, make sure he gets back to Rins.
Trevor, I have a question. In does Malleus have like a room on the second floor, or is it first floor? Like, have we ever really talked about that? Because Yosef had like a loft upstairs that used to be for like storage.
Everybody has their room is on the second floor. Okay. There's like there's like a balcony surrounding the main.
Like a mezzanine.
Oh, yeah, the main mezzanine.
Like a mezzanine, yeah. And then up there, okay, surrounded cool, by cool. rooms.
That's always kind of how I've imagined it. So I have like a window that points down to the street below or something on one side of the building,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
So after Malleus finished, this is canonical for every night that I've been here. After Malleus finishes his first 4 hours in the middle of the night, starting at 4 a.m, he just stands in the window without any armor on, staring out into the street.
Oh my God.
I love it. Not creepy at all. Not creepy at all.
The goal is just to freak the fuck out of people. The funniest part is that I would imagine most people wouldn't notice, but every now and again somebody would like double take real quick and then they would just look and stare, that he would just like and then like turn to look at him.
Yeah. No, he just like crumbles. When somebody makes eye contact, makes eye contact. Like you got hit by
he just falls apart.
Yeah, just, collapse. Yeah, the collapse feet. Yeah,
hear like bowling pin noises.
So well, it's like beating on the roof with a broom. What are you doing up there?
You'll see Marcus and Atia and Romola like walking hand in hand as because we'll say they can skirt around Brelda. And you'll see them walking as a very strange family as he heads to his room.
Huh. It's got to do something to Tacitus.
Roll a wheel.
Takes all his kids.
Yeah.
He cries. Yep.
The incel's curse to go with the outcast face.
The incel's curse. God damn.
So Tacitus, I have to admit, I'm Asmodean, but... Because it's a good effort. I know the sun's down. Come on, let's let's get you back home.
Sorry, someone needs their nap.
I'm out of sorts. It's very difficult to process this.
Are you going to be okay?
Yes, I just need to rest.
Well, I have to admit, I'm starting to grow some concerns. I mean, honestly, if I was going to try to do a party in that was attempting to end me, getting a skeleton into the group would be one thing, and getting someone else who clearly isn't maybe making the best decisions and would probably do anything to keep his family intact, regardless of how dead or not dead they are. I feel we're starting to get a little bit compromised.
I completely agree. There are definitely compromises here. Compromised goals, yes. Conflicts of interest. To speculate on that too much, though, as Mordrin, is to lead to factionalism within our group, and we cannot let that happen.
Well, I'm just floating the idea out there. I don't know what power Belcora has over spirits and undead, but it seems to be a larger part of our group these days than it used to be.
That's fair. It's a fair point. It is a fair point. As long as for now you and I remain solid and focused on our goal, I believe it will not. I do not believe we will go wayward. We will not stray from our goal.
Undead never say anything about you, fleshies.
Tacitus, but you just called me Malleus. How focused are you?
I feel as if we are wandering forward without knowing why. Everything is unclear to me. There's no other way I can explain it. I feel like I'm a moth drawn to a flame, always having to approach it, but never knowing what that is. And someday it may burn me. I'm going to go to sleep. It's almost my bedtime.
It's 6:45. Oh,
quite fast, I would say. Yeah. Yes. Have a Jell-O cup and head to bed.
Yes. Good night, Esmordrin.
As Mordrin wanders back down the road.
I wonder when my permits are going to be ready.
So, kind of as if on cue, kind of strange how things like that happen. You hear coming up behind you.
Oh my god.
Who hears this?
We all do. Mordrin. There's no way we don't.
As Mordrin in the street. Yeah.
He's in the street.
You can hear it back. Wherever you are.
As Mordrin, buddy. Buddy, I've been looking for you. Oh, man, I bet you better than. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing? I reach out and pat his head.
Oh, thanks. You know how much I love that. He starts tapping his foot really fast like he's a dog. Oh, no. It's involuntary. I can't stop myself. I got good news for you. I got this for you. And he hands you like a bound package.
Parcel.
Like a bound parcel. Small one. Looks to be about the size of a letter. Mayor sent it over. I don't know what it is, but he said you'd be excited.
Oh, maybe it's our remove curse scrolls. We could get Tacitus all cleared up from that outcast curse.
Wow, no. I'm excited. Can I watch you open it? Is that okay?
Well, of course. Let's have a look. And I tear it open.
It's permits for you to open up a stall in the marketplace.
We have our own alchemist!
Oh, beep, 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 beep.
Bow, bow, bow.
So, in it, the permit grants you a position in the marketplace. You get a stall assigned to you for a duration of 6 months. You have access to the stall. It's
Damn.
For you.
It's pretty nice.
You don't have to pay a due for it because these are kind of given by fiat by the mayor. But you are required to pay a percentage of your profit. It's like a tax. There's a tax assigned to it, but you don't have to pay for usage of the stall. So you don't have to pay for usage of the stall if you don't sell anything.
Fair enough.
Wow. I didn't think this was going to happen. It's shocking. I didn't even know what to think.
He said you'd be real excited. I love it when people are happy. You know, I think your tummy mouth is even smiling at the edges. And he reaches out to like tickle where your tummy mouth's chin would be. He's like, ah, I've never seen a bigger smile as that before. You know, I've never seen anybody with such a big mouth, but you know what? Well, that's real impressive. I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. Bye now. And he runs off in the direction of the guards garrison.
Thank you, Dilly.
Bye.
Sounds like a chicken.
You know what? His versatile heritage, beast man with a chicken.
Oh, beast kin chicken.
Beast kin chicken. God.
As he run, he kind of has that head bob.
Couldn't it just be an Arakakoa that you say is a chicken?
That's the wrong universe.
Oh, I don't know. Kenku?
Yes. No, not even that.
It's Tengu, is it? It's Tengu.
I was going to say, you're getting closer. He'll get there.
Syllables. Oopsie.
So, as Mordrin finally has gotten what he has been waiting for approximately 6 weeks to receive, his permits for opening a stall. And we'll have to see what he wanted to do with that. If he wanted to run the stall, if he wants to continue. I guess you might be able to discuss that over breakfast the next morning.
All I know is I better fill in the permits for the next 6 months right now, as long as it takes to get these things taken care of.
You can afford to wait like 4.5 months.
It's thinking like that while you'll never get ahead.
Yes, as Mordred walks back to the rowdy rockfish, like looking them over, thinking deeply to himself what his next course of action should be.
All right. Anybody else have anything else they want to do this evening to clear it out? Malleus is looking creepily out over the roadway as Mordrin is feeling conflicted over his permits. Tacitus is confused. And Marcus is making pottery. So.
I guess it's canon.
It's canon now. Do we want a Batman signal to the next morning?
That's fine.
Awesome. So here we are, back in the next morning, daybreak in Otari, where the women are strong, the men are good looking, and the children are above average.
So as you know, Malleus is finished with his preparation and everything, and he goes downstairs and, you know, sees Marcus with his loving different family.
It's just Atia down there, because I'm sure there are people around.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, Malleus just kind of like sees Atia and then thinks for a moment. And he realizes something. Does he have Mr. Griffey in his inventory still? Like, if I were to look on my person in any of my bags, do I still have the doll?
No.
Malleus would kind of like do that thing where he like looks for his wallet and keys, does a pat down everywhere real quick, and goes,
I guess we'll go back to the mayor's house first thing today. Makes his way downstairs.
Marcus is a steak and eggs man.
Nice.
And Atia is an oatmeal gruel, if that's a thing.
But you know, she's like it is now.
Well, it is now with blueberries.
Ooh. New Discord role, oatmeal girl.
Oatmeal girl.
It's going to be, Faye is technically still in the Discord, so I'm going to give my sister the role of Oatmeal Girl, just because.
Oh, I'm sure she'll be so confused.
I know, that's the whole point.
The fuck?
All right, so Tacitus, are you going to head in, or you get your brand muffin? You know, I know you've been up for at least 4 hours already.
Of course, he's had to pee a couple times. Right.
All right, so you make your way over to the Rowdy Rockfish. As Mordrin. And yourself, you are going to... What are you doing?
And as Mordred, like, you guys go down there, he's already there at a table, and he has, like, the papers laid out on the desk. He has a couple of bottles sitting there, and he is just, like, going over them deep in thought.
Would he be at the same table as Marcus, or no?
He probably would have been up when you came in. You could have gone to sit with him if you wish, but he was just probably just, you know, so lost in thought. He's really not paying attention to the world around him.
That's fine. If he's okay with it, then he would try and join you.
Oh, Marcus, morning, huh? Did you sleep well?
I did. And then you hear, I did too. You know, as you can tell, it's Atia saying it.
Yeah, I suspect it gets a little hectic in that room up there with the three of you.
It's mostly Atia, but yeah.
Malleus will make his way down the stairs over towards the table and ka-chunk his way across the wooden floor and take a stool across the table from all of these documents and oatmeal and sit down with no need to eat and look over the spread of paper and say,
what is all this?
And you'll see Atia, as you're doing that, slide the bowl of oatmeal over to you, not knowing that you can't eat, obviously.
He'll peer down and be like, I appreciate the sentiment, but I no longer need to eat. Thank you, little one.
That's not fair. And she slides it back over.
Oh, it's just meets and ends. Okay.
after I took Tacitus home, I actually came across Dilly. My permits came through, actually. Surprisingly. I didn't think they would. You know how racist that sheriff is. My goodness.
We could kill him, you know.
I haven't ruled it out, but now that I have the permits, it doesn't seem necessary.
Listen, Marcus, I saw the look that you just cut us, and you should know that we're actively planning to sacrifice a man to a demon, so if you have any reservations, you should speak up now.
Is that guy's a piece of shit. It's gonna be fine. I don't think Marcus will have a problem with it.
Listen, I had no qualms one way or the other, and if you ask me, it seems like a very easy way to appease a demon and avoid an otherwise difficult encounter.
More will have to be discussed. I'm sure there's a lot of nuance. I will try to keep an open mind.
Right. He's also the leading political competition for the mayor.
You know that makes it worse when you say that.
Politics. Indeed it does.
I actually always thought that would make it easier. We have like a scapegoat. Everyone's going to think the mayor was doing it.
The amount of political intrigue we plan on getting into while clearing out this gauntlet is more than I would have anticipated, to say the very least. But that being said, we are planning on doing that after we finish our business with the denizen of Leng, who we believe to be in a floor that we have yet to get to in the gauntlet, directly underneath the Colosseum where we lost our last compatriot, not Billiam, but a very, very competent fighter named Golikon.
Denizen of Leng occultism? Or what would that be? Skill wise,
I think it's a cult, right?
It would be a cult, yeah.
Okay, Marcus would look a little puzzled as you say that, just because he's very trained in obviously the religious side of things, but he is not familiar with he. Denizen of Leng, not familiar.
Right.
See, the key takeaway here was one of our friends died. Normally, people to be polite, go, oh, I'm sorry your friend died or something, and not focus on the monster. But you do you. You don't worry about it. It's fine.
You should do what I do.
I may seem a bit insensitive, because death doesn't really bother me much anymore, as he continues to look at
Oh, yes,
Atia.
I can see that.
And then look over
Jesus
to Marcus.
Christ.
As you were saying, sorry, Denizen of Leng, looking over to Malleus.
Right. It is a creature of a plane from the realm of dreams.
All right.
Specifically, a little bit more nightmare themed. It has attached itself in some way to the mayor's daughter, Doriana. A deal evidently was made to bring the child into the world. And that deal was not kept. As a result, a representative, so to speak, I suppose, of that realm has come to claim her and is doing so slowly by sucking her soul into the realm of Leng.
Well, that sounds like a problem that should be addressed rather quickly.
Her body is slowly, I don't want to say rotting, but withering more as she becomes enveloped in this realm.
Soon she will be gone completely. I fear to see her state when we go to try to retrieve the doll that holds the gem that seems to disappear and go back to her every day. It is how the denizen of Lang is able to manipulate and cause so much harm to her from such a great distance.
I see.
But we can also use it to track this creature, and it is what I intend to do today. I wish there to be as little roadblocks in the way down as possible, and this denizen of Lang is a unknown that I cannot allow.
By the way, Malleus, do you still have that doll on you that you were using to track him?
I, in fact, do not. It has disappeared over the evening. I assume it has gone back to Doriana.
Yes, likely.
Asmordran, will you be coming with us, or do you plan to start setting up your shops now that you've got the paperwork that you desire?
I honestly don't know. I've been thinking about it all night. I haven't slept, to be truthful with you. I haven't really talked about my past with you, but the only time in my life I actually was happy when I had a shop of my own back in Absalom, but that feels like a lifetime ago, honestly.
Very sad. How quickly could you get a shop set up?
I mean, if with the donation of like a few hundred gold, I could probably do it, you know, tomorrow.
Malleus will turn and look right at Tacitus. It's like, if only we had an extra few hundred gold laying around.
Well, looking at our supplies, we do. We have in total 866 gold in raw currency, plus several thousand more if we were to try to sell some of our equipment.
Well, if that is the case, how much do you need to get up and running? Because it might be a little useful if you're able to give us supplies directly in town instead of having to write into Absalom and wait 2 to 3 days every time we need something.
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, 150 gold would be more than enough to get everything going, plus get a couple of items going for the treks to the Gauntlet.
I'm willing to part with a bit of my gold if you are, Tacitus.
I suppose I am too.
It is settled. You may take the gold you need and build your shop.
Then, you know, Tacitus or me or whoever will just give you what you need. Take it out of the party loot.
Okay, could you repeat how much you would need?
150.
Okay. Easy. That's nothing.
Easy. Easy.
Chump change.
I love thinking like that Malleus is just like super, super conservative with the money he spends for no reason.
He's a skeleton.
I like that he's mad about giving the money to Billiam's family, but to get rid of Asmordran, he's like, How much do you need?
I will give it all
to get rid of you.
He's investing.
Yeah, first of all, I'm investing in my future. Second of all, anything to get you out of the party quicker.
Oh my god. Wow.
Golly.
Listen, Malleus hates Asmordran, and Asmordran hates Malleus. This is just fun.
It's true.
All right. So, are you staying behind? Are you going to come with to the mayor to maybe thank him for the permit going through? Or are you just going to go off and start setting up your shop?
Well, I'm glad that you got the money you need. Now, please do me a favor. Take 150 gold and politely fuck off and build your little cot now. We'll go find the doll at the mayor's office. Have a good day, meat man.
Thanks, Malleus, and I'll be sure to label every acid vat as oil of unlife, just for you.
I'm gonna die in my sleep.
he's gonna trepane you and like pour a healing potion in your skull.
My eyes!
Okay, so we head to the mayor's office.
Atia's staying. Atia will come with. Never mind. Because he does remember. They mentioned Doriana before, right?
I think yes. Her and Atia played before.
They played. No, he played with.
Billiam's kids.
Billiam's kids.
Yeah, she.
So if you mention the kid, he goes, you'll see him. He goes, around how old is the child? Atia's age?
She's six.
Approximately? Six, seven?
She's young. I don't know.
I believe she is either six or seven. And she is also very, very ill. She's been bedridden for the last several days.
And Atia will say, my friendship will make her better. I want to make a new friend.
Right, I'm bad at reading social cues of humans, so go ahead.
Make friend.
All right, so he'll bring Atia with.
All right, you make your way up to the mayor's domicile. Stecken is there. Yesterday, you came to get the doll.
Are you here to get the doll again? I believe yes. The mayor did note that it was back, and it is in Doriana's room. Though she appears to be up and about, she's a bit different. So bear that in mind.
We're all different. Atia chimes up.
Stecken gets down.
Marcus clears his throat.
Gets down near her. He's like,
I don't think we're all quite this different, but I've been proven wrong many times in my long life. I do worry for her, though. I do worry.
And he ushers you inside.
Okay.
As we're walking in, Malleus will turn towards Marcus and then look at Tacitus and be like,
not to put too heavy of a feeling on everything, but it is worth noting that she already was not in a good way. If she is up and about and different than she already was, this doesn't bode well. Be prepared to see something you might not like.
So as you say that to the rest of the party and you head your way in, give me a perception check.
I'm going to roll my dice.
Okie dokie.
We got to roll 18. Dice at least once.
Yeah, right?
That is a 14 for a 25.
18 for a 26.
3 for a 12.
All right, Mr. 25, Mr. 26. You both see Doriana at the top of the stairs in the Great Hall. But you also see Doriana at the bottom of the stairs in the Great Hall. You all see Doriana there.
Oh, dear.
And as soon as you note that you see her at the top and at the bottom of the stairs, the one at the top of the stairs begins to walk down the stairs and merges with the one at the bottom of the stairs.
And you see Atia. Dad, you know some really cool people.
Tacitus, do human children do that too?
Not generally, no. I don't believe she has a mirror the way that I do.
Does her arm still look all fucked up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, her arm is completely withered up to the elbow.
Oh, has gone. Like, is it worse than
it's
before?
It's worse.
Oh, good.
And she looks to regard you, and her face moves, but it looks like her head is still looking the same way. And about 3 seconds after her head moves, the other part of her face turns to look at you. So it's like she's delayed within herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she starts to speak, and it's all out of sync. Like she's got reverb when she's talking. If you're looking for my daddy, he's in his office. And it's all like it takes her for the time she starts saying that, the time she stops saying that, it's like 15 seconds of reverberant audio. Like there's multiple copies of her speaking at the same time. Then she turns and walks to her left while still standing there. And she gets about 15 feet away. And rather than following herself, the other bit goes the other way down the opposite hallway.
And which arm is with her, the right or the left arm?
Why are you going to get me like that? I think it's the right, though.
I only ask because Atia is going to want to like be formal and shake hands. So she wants to know. I just want to know which arm is
with her. The right arm is the one that's messed up.
Okay. And she'll move to the one that's staying in the hallway. She goes, hi, I'm Atia Klim. And she'll reach out her left hand. She goes, is your other hand undead or something?
I have all the friends that I need, thank you. And she walks away.
You see Atia's head drop a little bit. And you'll see Marcus like pat her on the head, like kind of like, it's okay. It's okay. And Marcus will look to the group to be like, shall we?
Yeah, let's go to the office and find that fucking doll.
You make your way into the office, and the mayor looks like he hasn't slept in a week. He is not, you know, pressed and dressed the way he typically is. He looks like he hasn't cleaned himself. No bathing, same set of clothes. He's sweating profusely. Bags under his eyes, and he's sitting there at his desk. Usually when you see him at his desk, he's very busy until you walk in. It looks like he's just staring there. And he's like staring daggers at Mr. Griffey sitting on the desk.
I see you found the doll.
It was in my daughter's room again this morning. She brought it down to me, saying you might want it again. And that was the first time that I'd seen her out of her bed in 3 days. And I was happy at first until she walked in again and again and again and again.
Daddy, I've come to bargain.
Episode title right there.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Sorry.
She gave me that thing. It's there. She gave it to me so many times. I could have swore I saw it move. I'm sure you'll be back for it tomorrow. Just take it. Take the stone out of it. Whatever you need to do with it, just take it. And he takes it and he tosses Mr. Griffey at Malleus, like really roughly. Get it out of my sight.
Malleus catches it. He will have it like hit his chest plate and then just open his hands and let it fall into it, and he'll look into the doll, and then he'll slowly look back up into the mirror and then like pull the visor back up off of his helmet and say,
by the way, Billiam lost his leg yesterday.
Unhand me, you soulless devil.
What in the gods?
My name is Griffey, Mr. Griffey, and we must get to the gauntlet. Doriana needs us.
What is this?
And we'll find out what that means when we come back next week.
Atia thinks it's awesome.
I like how you were about to be like, oh my god, Billiam, but then the doll was like, put me down right now!
Unhand me.
Knave, unhand me.
See, like, I know it's your character, but I feel like Malleus would have immediately been like, fuck, and just thrown it on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, spike it. Yes.
Start stomping on it.
Roll for Intent uses trademarks and our copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. Used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Roll for Intent is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit Paizo.com. Original characters and storylines are the property of Roman Neville Productions. Music for this podcast was provided by Michael Gelfie, Flip Melvin, and Tabletop Audio. Visit our website at RollForIntent.com. Any questions or suggestions, email us at mailroom@RollForIntent.com. Thank you for listening.